So nice to have you back, Nate.
Thank you for having me, Nima. It's great to be with you.
And let's get started with what's going on right now in Lebanon. What do we know about the casualties of these attacks?
Well, the numbers keep on rising. I think it's hard to keep up with it, but because the Zionists are targeting civilian homes and civilian infrastructures like hospitals and what have you, the numbers are rising rapidly. Last numbers I saw were, you know, over 1,400 martyred and much more injured. And these numbers are getting closer and closer to the number of martyred and injured in the last Lebanon war in 2006 in 33 days. So right now in 3 days, the Israelis have committed more criminal acts than they did in 33 days in the last war. And this is an example of them right now, because they were not deterred or stopped by the international bodies and international law in their genocide in Gaza. They think that they can conduct the same genocidal behavior here in Lebanon.
What are we hearing from Hezbollah, and what would be the reaction? And do they really think that they can control Israel, or it's getting out of hand?
Well, definitely Hezbollah has been, you know, targeting all the bases, military bases between the South Lebanon border all the way to a line between Haifa and Tabaria Lake, or the Galilee, Sea of Galilee. And this includes all the major air bases, the Ramat David in Haifa, the Majdol air base that is a replacement to it in near the Tabaria Lake, and the Ramat David base is one of three major Israeli air bases. They have been destroyed. All the launching and gathering points in the military, Israeli military, in the Golan Heights and in North Palestine, as well as all the you know, warehouses for stockpiles of weapons have been destroyed. The major artillery base in the Golan Heights destroyed. And, you know, Hezbollah has fired over 400 Rami 1, 2, and 3 missiles in the last 30 some more hours on these bases. And finally, also, it is the major Israeli Navy base south of Haifa that has been targeted. And a lot of this targeting is on the warehouses and on the officers and soldiers' residences, and as well as the major military industrial complexes like the Rafael military complex north of Haifa have been targeted 6-7 times in the last 2 days. The major chemical factories that produce chemicals for munitions destroyed. This is the most important, actually, industrial zone in the Zionist colony, the north of Palestine. People think maybe it's in the south or near Tel Aviv, but the majority of the factories are in the north of Palestine, and they have been relentlessly bombarded. And a few hours ago, Hezbollah announced that they fired a ballistic missile for the first time on the headquarters of the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence agency, in the suburb of Tel Aviv, and that it hit its target. So we are seeing a new formula that Hezbollah is drawing, which is to hit the suburb of Beirut means that the suburbs of Tel Aviv will be also hit.
Yeah. And how do you find it in Lebanon? How do they see what's going on in the United States in terms of what Iran, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, these countries are doing there in terms of what's going on between Hezbollah and Israel and between Israel and Gazans and Palestinians?
Yeah, so you're talking about the General Assembly at the United Nations, representative of all these countries, kings and presidents and so on were there. They you know, spoke in ways that we haven't heard them speak before. But, you know, I will take all of this with a grain of salt because, you know, there's more NATO troops on the ground of Jordan than there is actually Jordanian troops. So this is an occupied country. The king of Jordan is allowed to blab if he can at the pulpit of the United Nations, but although they had to give him a box to stand on because he's such a short man. You know, because of the boiling situation in the street of Jordan, we spoke last time about the Jordanian truck driver that shot the three Israeli border agents. So we can see the you know, Jordan has to pretend, at least the government of Jordan or the king, that they are not on the side of the genocide in Gaza and or the already beginning genocide in Lebanon. Otherwise, the streets will rise up on him. And this is happening also in Turkey. The streets in Turkey are a boiling point. We saw a few weeks ago when American soldiers stepping off an American Navy ship almost got lynched in the streets by the regular locals. Okay, so that's the reality. Maybe just before us getting live on here, I was looking at the news, and the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Egypt just said that Israel is driving the region right now into a regional war. So, you know, who knows where all of these puppets of the U.S. will fall once there is a full-out war. Again, before I got on this live, the Israeli media were reporting that Netanyahu has called in a cabinet meeting to get approval for invading Lebanon. I don't know how realistic that is or what's going to be the outcome, but we see things moving fast. And there's already American troops and British troops in Cyprus and inside the Zionist colony. So who knows who's going to be conducting this invasion? Is it really the demoralized, defeated Israeli soldiers that couldn't fight in Gaza that are going to invade Lebanon? Or is it going to be Western troops hiding, wearing Israeli fatigue, pretending to be Israeli soldiers?
It seems that the United States sent its troops, deployed them to Cyprus for possible evacuation operation of American citizens from Lebanon. Well,
that's the cover. But we saw at least five American troop carriers, aircraft carriers that landed in Israel over the last 24 hours. And this includes the 101 Airborne Division, meaning the spearhead of the you know, military of the United States. And that's an indication of wanting to be engaged in battle. It's not an indication of you want to evacuate people if you send the 101 Airborne Division.
And how about Hezbollah? How do they find it right now? Are they prepared? Do they really think that they're going to go on the ground to fight Hezbollah? I sincerely doubt that if United States would be willing to do that together with Israelis, but nobody can predict that that could happen.
Yeah, we live in a insane world right now. The empire itself is led by a vegetable, and we have a sociopath in charge of the Zionist colony, and he has his leash let go with both parties in the United States. Basically told Netanyahu, you can do whatever you want to from now till the coming of the next president in January 20th. Okay, so above and beyond that, it seems like that the American elite agreed to hand over the American military to be under the command of Netanyahu from now till then. And so what we have is that Netanyahu has been told, if you want to get the U.S. into a war, you must do it now. So whoever wins the election, no matter it's Kamala Harris or Donald Trump, they will have to continue it. That is the reality that we're living in. And I think, you know, we will see things that nobody can calculate. It's hard to rationally think about the decisions that are going to come out from Netanyahu, given that the West has shielded him for a year committing genocide.
And how about Hezbollah forces right now, the communication? Are they still using those walkie-talkies, pagers, or they have all of them were replaced?
I think this is all now gone. There's much of the Hezbollah force has gone dark. They are in their bunkers. They are ready for the fight. And there's basically radio silence. And the only thing that they're using right now is the underground laid out communication lines that Hezbollah has. There's nothing going to be above ground. And, given that the Zionists have been bombarding relentlessly regions that they claim that there is missiles coming out of, and at the same time we are seeing those missiles continue, it means the Israelis have very little intelligence about where actually the weapons of Hezbollah are. Remember in the first few days of the 2006 war, when the Israelis conducted a massive air campaign, they claimed after the first 2 days that they destroyed 60% or 80% of Hezbollah's capabilities, and lo and behold, Hezbollah, bombarded them for another 31 days before they gave up. So, we're now in a full alert situation, I think Hezbollah is waiting actually for this invasion. As Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah said in his last speech, they wish for it, they hope for it, because it will be much easier to, kill Zionist soldiers once they come out of their hiding places and attempt to invade Lebanon. The last time they did try to do it, they couldn't go in more than 4 kilometers and had the hugest defeat in their history. They lost 30 somewhat tanks in one town. It was called the Merkava massacre, and they were held by 150 fighters. 3,000 Israeli troops were held back by 150 Hezbollah fighters for over a week. So this is where the reality is. The ground of Lebanon will be the graveyard of the Israeli military if it invades, and I hope they invade, because the only advantage they have over Lebanon is their air power. And as we see right now, Hezbollah is destroying the air bases, specifically in the north. By the way, the Israeli Air Force is already using Cypriot airports right now, and is depending more and more on this. There are two airports in the middle of Palestine in the south, which means that they are conducting less bombardment of Gaza. Okay, so this is kind of an overall round. Sorry if I took some time with that answer.
Yeah. And we know that Hezbollah is, Netanyahu gave a video message to Lebanese. He's talking to Lebanese people the same way that he was talking with Gazans, if you remember that. And he is blaming Hezbollah for what's going on, the way that they're killing people in Lebanon. And how do you find it, the political parties within Lebanon? How do they perceive these type of messages that coming from Netanyahu and his administration? Do they really think that this message is aiming at them, or is aiming at the United States, at the people who know English, who talk not in Arabic language?
Yeah, you are right. Definitely it was directed to the English world. He spoke in English. If we kind of assess the Zionist and the whole West and their propaganda over the last year, we will notice a huge shift in their propaganda. Why? Because they lost the propaganda war on all fronts. Not only against, for the minds of the Arabic people or the South in Africa and Latin America or Asia. No, they lost the propaganda war inside the heartlands of the empire. the Western public does not believe anything the Western media says now about Palestine. The vast majority are against this genocide, citizens in Europe and in North America. So what we saw is that the Zionists and the imperialists in general shifted their propaganda, have practically abandoned the propaganda war for the minds of the majority of humanity, and have concentrated right now their propaganda on the hardcore fascist, populist, part of the society that has been programmed for code words. Every Arab home is a, or every Arabic hospital or every Arabic school is a where weapons are and we can kill them. That's they repeating very basic, crude propaganda that doesn't work in the world, and also they're bragging about their crimes. This is where you notice that they are right now directing their propaganda to that hardcore that they want, and they don't care about anybody else. So when they talk about that terrorist cyber attack that happened last week, they're bragging about it. They're sending people death threats on Twitter and others, saying beep, beep, where's your pager? Even the goddamn anti-Semitism, quote-unquote, czar in the United States, on a stage being asked by a moderator of a panel she's on about those beepers, if it was a terrorist attack, she threatened she threatened the moderator with, like, beep, beep, do you have a pager? Okay, so this is crude propaganda that is so hateful. They know that they're only aiming for this base group. And of course, this video was part of that same method of propaganda.
And how about the countries who are helping right now, Lebanon, the government in Lebanon and the people of Lebanon? You talk about Syria, Iran, and what else? Do we have any sort of new countries that are helping?
Yeah. Syria, the president of Syria just today gave a speech to the parliament and to the new government, the cabinet, and ordered them to make the taking care of Lebanese people and the needs of Lebanon as their top number one priority for all the ministries and all the parts of the government. We have Iraq has created a nonstop land and air bridge from Iraq to Lebanon, bringing food and supplies, medical supplies and equipment, as well as fuel. So this is an important thing, because the country needs the oil and gasoline and so forth. The Iraqi resistance, by the way, has been launching almost on the hour missiles and drones, and a lot of them are coming from Syria, but they're signed as Iraqi resistance. There is not much else that we can talk about other than Yemen, of course, and its support. And there's at least probably 200,000 Yemeni fighters that are coming into both Syria and Lebanon right now, preparing for a ground war. There's the Iraqi resistance that's camped now on the borders with Jordan. Who knows what's going to happen to Jordan if a full-out war happens. The rest of the world is talking. I don't see much coming from the rest of the world.
Yeah. Saudi Arabia, Turkey, nothing coming from these countries.
Nothing.
Yeah. And you mentioned that Hezbollah is prepared to any sort of attack coming from the Netanyahu administration. And you mentioned as well that the United States troops are in Israel right now preparing for help, I don't know, or whatever. But do they, the government, the political parties within the political arena of Lebanon, how do they, or do Do you see any sort of unity? Do you see any sort of fracture happening? What's going on within Lebanon in terms of what's going on outside, considering the policy of the United States right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the U.S. and the its regional vessels like the Saudis and Emiratis and Qataris, who spent billions of dollars trying to create a opposition to Hezbollah in Lebanese society and the parliament, are right now probably wondering what happened to their money, because it's not achieving anything. In fact, you know, we saw a lot of different Lebanese parties that were critics of Hezbollah, or all of them taking public stances against the barbarism and crimes of the Zionist colony in Lebanon. And because the fact that the Zionists are stupid enough to target Christian areas in the south of Lebanon, as well as destroying at least two churches and attacking the area of Jebel, north of Beirut, another like very important Christian area, you could see, you know, even the videos of people from those areas filming those attacks, praying for Jesus and Mary for the protection of Lebanon and its people. So you can see how it is working the opposite of the intended effect. The only reason to target these Christian areas is to terrorize them, thinking that they're going to revolt against Hezbollah. Well, actually, these people are praying to Jesus and Mary to save them from the monster that is Israel, to protect their nation and their land and their people. Okay, it's we can see also the right now 500,000 Lebanese left the south of Lebanon. Almost all the villages south of Saida are empty right now, and it was 2 days of road jams. And most of these people went to the north and the center of the country, and the Christian areas opened up. People were opening their homes. There was, groups of people wearing, T-shirts with a big cross on them, standing on the highways and directing people to where they can get food and so on. The churches opened up for Muslim refugees, giving keys to their homes that are empty to families that are displaced. So the internal solidarity in Lebanon has only solidified, and the barbarity of the Zionists and the monstrosity of what they're doing, that they were banking on as the final deterrence that they have, is actually back, exploding back in their house.
Yeah. And how about whenever we talk about the political parties within Lebanon, you remember how many people are thinking that France has some sort of leverage on these people. How do you see it right now? Is France doing anything in favor of Lebanese people, or they're helping them, or nothing coming from France?
Yeah, for now, I saw something amazing yesterday, which was a statement by the leader of the opposition, leader of actually the government should be, the leftist party, Michelon, who won the biggest number of seats in France. And, the dictator Macron is not allowing him or his coalition to form a government, and in fact appointed his own government without the authorization of the parliament. The leader, Michelon, leader of the left coalition, made a statement saying, standing in solidarity with Lebanon, and also said, we stand with the Lebanese patriotic resistance. Okay? And this is referring in the French language, same language of coding for the French liberation movement against the German occupation. This is a very high statement that no other European party leader has taken. This is amazing. And if you could imagine, if he was prime minister of the country, where would France be today? And today, again, Michelon was out in the demonstrations in different parts of France, and once more shamed his own country, the government of Macron, for their involvement in this genocide. France has hosts a huge number of Lebanese and other Arab diasporas. You know, Arabic people are the largest minority in France, and therefore whatever is going to happen in Lebanon is going to affect the streets of France. I don't know where Macron will take his country, but if his country goes to war against Lebanon, they should be expecting troubles in the streets of Paris.
Yeah, the other country is the United Kingdom. Starmer was talking about that they're not happy with what's going on right now in the Middle East. But at the end of the day, do you see anything substantial, as you've mentioned, for France coming from the United Kingdom, or they're just talking the talk?
This is a substantial thing that was coming from the UK was last week before the terrorist attacks. The United Kingdom military was trying to force the Lebanese military leadership to sign a treaty that allows British forces to land on Lebanese soil and conduct military activities without the authorization of the elected government of Lebanon. So you could see clearly where the United Kingdom was aiming. They wanted to invade Lebanon in the case of a war with the Zionist colony. And luckily, the sock puppet head of the Lebanese military, who's an American spy, probably was too scared to sign on the dotted line because somebody's going to take him out, right? That's the only reason he probably didn't sign it. And so, the United Kingdom is the source of the cancer that we know as Zionism and the creation of this colony. The United Kingdom is responsible for the original sin of creating this fascist, cancer amongst the Arabic world, the Zionist colony. And they definitely have never stopped supporting their bastard child.
Yeah. And in terms of troops that you've mentioned about the Yemeni troops and so on, and I've learned that it seems 40,000 troops are heading toward Lebanon. I don't know, in many directions. But you mentioned 200,000 coming from Yemen, just Yemen?
Oh, yes. 200,000 just from Yemen. They can't even know where to put them. And of course, you have the Afghani Shia, the Pakistani Shia, the Iranian and Iraqi volunteers, Syrian volunteers. This is all, everybody's waiting from all of these countries to get their revenge back for the tens of millions of Arabs and Muslims that have been slaughtered from Mauritania all the way to Afghanistan over the last 80 years just to maintain this Zionist colony and to keep the Arabic and Muslim world divided and in constant war. So, the Zionist and the West are driving us into a civilizational, a religious world war, and they will get what they are asking for. Not because the Arabic or Muslim world wanted it to be a religious war. We've been for 80 years telling everybody Zionism is not Judaism. Judaism is our religion. We are the original Jews here in Palestine that converted to Christianity and then converted to Islam. We've been trying very hard and to say this is our heritage, Judaism. It's not, but they are insisting. The West is insisting on pretending to be the inheritors of our glorious prophets, Moses and Jesus, and want to sully their name by killing and genociding other nations, and not only any other nations, like they did across the Americas and Africa, but the original Christians and the original Jews. And the rest of the world, I think, is watching this. And as we see with Russia right now, things are very close for even Russia getting involved. We can talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, because Russia was talking about, Reuters reported that Russia is talking with Houthis and through the government, through the forces of Iran, that they want to provide Houthis with missiles. And do you find it, how do they find it in Lebanon? Is that, does it have anything to do with the reality of what's going on?
Yes, of course. I mean, the United States is sending all these weapons to Ukraine and to Taiwan to harass and kill Russians and Chinese people. And, you know, so for sure, Russia is paying back the debt. But at the same time, I want to note that yesterday, the Israeli Air Force attempted to bombard Tartus, the major port city for Syria, where there is a Russian military base, and just north of it is Latakia, the other major port city in Syria, where the Russian Navy base is and the air base are. And for the first time, we see Syrian air defenses chasing Israeli jets in the Mediterranean before they even fired missiles, and chased them over Lebanon also, and shot down all the missiles that were fired on Tartus. Now, we don't know the details. We have no proof of this. But these clearly are weapons that haven't been used yet by Syria as an air defenses. Was it the 3S-300 that Russia had sold to Syria a decade ago and have not allowed them to use it until now? Or was it actually Russian air defenses that were protecting their own bases and surrounding areas? Those are questions that we don't have answers for. But what we're sure of is there's a change in the military activities and the weapons that are being used. And that's an indicator of how close things could get. And if the Americans get directly involved in a war against Lebanon, we must be expecting then Russia to also take side in this war when they are just 30 kilometers away from the border of North Lebanon.
Yeah. And the situation in Gaza is right now so important because of this conflict between Hezbollah and Israel. It seems that we are just not talking that much about what's really going on in Gaza. And what do we know, Leith, right now, what about what's going on there?
Yeah, the genocide continues at a little bit slower the pace because the Israeli Air Force is so busy with Lebanon. So it's not able to conduct huge air raid campaigns against Gaza, but there is everyday massacres. There's also huge resistance. You know, the Palestinian groups in Gaza have been concentrating on the Netzarim axis, this area that the Israelis flattened that cuts the Gaza Strip into two parts, and where their supply lines and their major gathering locations are, and have been, you know, landing huge blows. You know, in one video that released yesterday by Hamas, there was six armored bulldozers destroyed in one blow. So the Israelis are not able to maintain control of even this area that they flattened, the Netzarim axis. We heard Netanyahu yesterday say that he will be, actually today, this morning, he will be emptying the north of Gaza completely of its inhabitants. And that's what the settlers want. It's an ethnic cleansing campaign, genocide, mass expulsion, and the settlers want that, and they want to go in and plant some Israeli flags. And then, as we saw, they've been selling this land over and over in synagogues in Canada, Australia, the UK, and the United States. So the money has been piling. They want to start building these imaginary settlements, which they will never be able to. But these are, this is the situation on the ground in Gaza. And, you know, I don't think we're going to stop anytime soon, this war.
How about the West Bank? What's going on there? And Palestinian authorities, Mahmoud Abbas and these people?
Yeah. The West Bank, today there was an invasion of Jenin City. And they were confronted with, strong opposition, fighting. They had to actually withdraw from the city because there was a few improvised explosive devices and ambushes done against the invading force. The demonstrations have been organized in Ramallah over the weekend and later on this week in Jenin and other places in the West Bank in support of the resistance in Lebanon and in solidarity with the people in Lebanon here. So that demonstration in Ramallah, the Palestinian Authority refused to give them a permit to do it, but they still did it anyways, right? And they were carrying Hassan Nasrallah's pictures and flags of Hezbollah. So it was a big irritation for the Palestinian Authority, collaboration authority. There has been arrests over the last week or so of different activists by the security forces of the PA. So there was a demo in Jenin also condemning these political arrests. We don't know if Mahmoud Abbas is going to live through this war. He's almost 90 years old. It would be the best thing that could happen to the Palestinian people that he, dies right there. And then there will be no Palestinian Authority.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Laith, for being with us today. Great pleasure to talk with you. And thank you so much for providing us with this information that everybody wants to know about what's going on in that region.
Talk to you soon, Nima.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.